This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This is 30 Minutes with GSW. So over the past few days, I was meditating. In fact, started on Sunday, I was meditating on something. I don't know how many of you joined the early morning service today. What I was meditating on kind of, dovetailed into what Brother Bode Baruch was also talking about. But I'm going to come at it from a slightly different perspective. And it's actually a question. What do you do when everything goes south? I was ministering to a couple yesterday, and one of the things I remember telling them was, we live in a world where people look at physical results to try and determine who you are. And if you're a Christian, and it seems that things are a little bit shaky, and the tendency for people to want to now determine what your spiritual status is by what is a little bit shaky or going on in your life. And from my own personal experience, I've seen people pass through a process with the Holy Spirit where it seems as if it strips everything away. And outwardly, it might look as if everything is going bad. But actually, if the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see what He's doing, He's actually preparing you for something greater than where you currently are. So, and that is what I want to talk about. In those situations as a Christian, when everything seems to go south, when it seems as if, just like the lover of the butterfly, you go into what they call a pupa state, and then after that state has passed, it then unfolds into a beautiful butterfly, for those of you that did science. And the Lord, when I was meditating on it during the week, the Lord was, brought David back to my mind. And when you look at the life of David very well, you know that David was like, he started life in circumstances that were not so, the Bible was not explicit about it, but if you do a research and you look at what the Jewish writers wrote about David and his early life, you will notice that his life was not so fantastic. It was more like, it was considered an illegitimate child. And which was why when Samuel showed up to anoint another king based on the instructions of God, they even forgot him. He was somewhere they forgot him because he was not important. He was not one of those sons that would be considered important, that would be considered to have, to hold the destiny of the extended family or the family they said. In actual fact, he was the first son that was considered for that, both culturally, because that was what was the culture then. Also because that one was, of a fine physique. And, of course, by the time God corrected the impression of Samuel, David was then anointed. And then David then entered into this season of this trajectory that, seems unreal. In the sense that he was anointed, the Spirit of God rushed upon him, his life changed from that point on. And it was not a man, or it was a young boy that was looked on with favor. And it was in that state that, his father sent him to the war front to go and see his brothers, that he encountered what Goliath was doing, and then he was able to destroy Goliath. And of course, suddenly he now became a favorite of the king. See, but the thing is this: if he had remained in that role as a favorite of the king, then the reason for which he was anointed, maybe he might not have achieved it, and maybe he might have achieved it, or maybe even killing Goliath was basically trying to truncate the process of God because he didn't really understand what the process of God was. But be that as it may, despite his high-flying status, despite the fact that he was a high flyer, he was high potential, which is what businesses sometimes stamp people that are meant for leadership roles, he became a vagabond. He became a young man that had to run from his benefactor, if I can use that word, and went into into the wilderness. He did not even go back home because his supposed benefactor was looking for what, hunting him actively to kill him, to destroy him totally, because he saw him as a threat. But you see, what I want us to look at today, if we can, you know, in this few minutes, is when he got to the cave of Adullam, what did he do? When he got to the cave of Adullam, what did he do? And I think locked in there is the answer to that question, what do you do when things go south? Because as Christians, if we focus on what is going wrong in our lives, and we focus on what, in all the plans we have put in place that seems not to be working, we focus on the fact that we seem to be under a siege, you know, creditors are milling around, those in the office, our bosses in the office seem to think that we don't amount to anything. Extended family is looking at us and saying that, oh, this one is a gold digger, they just married him or her to come and, you know, take our wealth. You know, when we are surrounded by wolves that want to tear us apart and we are born again children of God's spirit filled, what do you do? What do you do? What I'm describing to you, I was there several years ago. It seems as if nothing could just go right. I'll pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and nothing was moving. I've always been one that will mentor people and help people. I was always the one that ensures that people must grow. But you see, the problem was, my focus was not on people growing. My focus was on ensuring that myself and my family were comfortable. And that focus is so strong that it clouds every other thing that you could ever think of doing. That even sometimes when the Holy Spirit is talking to you and trying to get your attention and trying to focus you on the purpose that he has ordained for you, there's a tendency for us not to notice. I'm telling you this from experience. So David got into a cave. He couldn't go back home. Nobody could offer him a place. The priest of Nob that gave him, that allowed him to spend some time with them, all of them were killed. So David had it. So what did David do? David went into the wilderness and he became a cave dweller. What a fall from status. And there are people on this call that are listening to me this morning, that this might be describing your situation at this time.
A total fall from grace. A total fall from grace. What do you do at that time? Now, the Bible said, God knowing that David had an identity that could not be truncated, God started to orchestrate, because I believe it was God that orchestrated that. God started to orchestrate men that were in debt, men that were despondent, men that were in despair. Years ago, I used to call them the men of the three Ds. God started to orchestrate that those men started to come from every place, even those that are not even sons of Israel, from wherever they had, they started coming and they started congregating around David. Of course, they congregate around David because he had been recognized as a military commander par excellence, if I can use that word. He had been recognized as a military commander par excellence. His exploits was all over the nation of Israel. But you see, I believe also that God used all those military exploits to prepare him for this time. So whatever you are learning in this season, that it seems as if you are besieged, don't discard it. Do not take it as if, oh, I'm just using this one to hold body, which is the parlance we use in Nigeria. If you're not from Nigeria on this call, so you need to understand, I just use this whole body. But you see, the thing is this. Everything that God allows you to go through, the Holy Spirit can use to build and prepare you for the next level. Because God is never satisfied with us staying in one spot and developing and turning that place to a comfort zone. Our comfort zone should be the place of purpose. So by the time these young men started to congregate around David, guess what? David did not waste time focusing on his fallen status. He did not waste time moaning and complaining and said, but you anointed me, but Samuel anointed me, but you promised me this, but you showed me this. He did not waste time reminding God of his exploits in the wilderness when he killed the bear or the lion. He focused on the people that God brought around him, and he started to develop them. He started to develop them. So much so that by the time David was done, years later, this man had become such a band of special forces, if I can use them, if I can call them that, that their own exploits were also written in the books. So what are you doing? Yes, things have gone south. Or maybe things have not even gone south. You're living the best time of your life. You're living the best time of your life right now. My question is still for you. What are you doing? What are those things that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your attention that it is time for you to start to do something about it? It's time for you to start to take the insight that the Lord has given you and you start to use it to build up other people. It is time for you to start building institutions. Look around you. Where are you right now? Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit, in this organization I'm in right now? Yes, I know that I earn a salary every month, but what is your purpose here? Why am I here? The next step, the next place I'm going, the next place I'm going, what do you want me to achieve there? I tell people that I counsel and mentor sometimes. I tell them, listen, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is moving you from job to job, from nation to nation, you can think it's because, oh, for better economic returns or for better living standards. We make a fundamental mistake when we think like that. Because the Holy Spirit is a commander of the church. It came to make sure that the church is focused on fulfilling the will of the Father as laid down for us by the Lord Jesus. So whoever you are, for as long as you are a born-again child of God and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, even some unbelievers, the Holy Spirit puts them in places on purpose, either for them to encounter those that will show them the gospel of salvation, or for them to make sure that somebody that the Holy Spirit wants to use for the purpose of the kingdom is moved to the next level. There is nothing that escapes the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit then wishes to partner with you, and then you are sitting in the dumps and focused on what is not going right in your life, the question then is, can you truly tell yourself that you are doing the will of the Father? So I think that's why that question came. What do you do when things go south? Now, brother, they was talking this morning, and he said, listen, he said, Jesus slept in the boat. The storm was raging. But he knew who he is. I didn't use words because he still knows who he is up till now. He slept in the boat in the storm. But do you know that because the world expects us to fret when things go wrong, when we don't fret, we ourselves will feel uncomfortable that what is wrong with me? Why am I not fretting? If you have ever asked yourself that question, I think you should spend time dancing to the Holy Spirit this morning, because it means that the Holy Spirit has been able to change you and train you and got you to a point where you see a storm as just a flicker of time, not something that has come to stay and will abide forever. Because that's truly what it is. People around you will say you are strange. Everything is going wrong around you, and you are calm. Who are you? You tell them I'm the Son of the Most High God. By the time David was done with this young man, they became the nucleus of the army of Israel. David killed a giant. Is this same man killed brothers of that same giant? One day David just said, listen, I will like to, how I so much like to drink the waters of the well of Bethlehem, because David came from Bethlehem. Three of these young men. And then the Bible says that Bethlehem was a garrison of the Philistines. Now, you see why I call them Special Forces, SEAL Team 6, or SAS, the British SAS? Three of them went into that city and got water from the well of Bethlehem. And the garrison of the Philistines that was there did not even know that anybody came in. There are people that the Lord wants you to train. Aya. There are people waiting on you. It is easy for us to say, the Holy Spirit can always raise another person to train them. See, if the Holy Spirit raises another person to train them, you have lost the opportunity to fulfill the will of the Father at that time. And I don't know whether you have experienced it, but I've experienced it before, where I realized that I missed an opportunity to impact somebody when the Holy Spirit wanted me to impact that person. The pain that I felt realizing I missed that opportunity to do the will of my Father, I cannot describe it, and I do not pray for anybody to have it, to feel it. Because I just see that, I have lost this opportunity. Oh, yeah, will God forgive me? Yeah, he has already forgiven me. But imagine that myself and my Father are supposed to be partners in something, and I keep missing the opportunity to partner with him. Too painful to consider, to imagine. So what do you do when everything goes south? Just like David, focus on the purpose that has been outlined to you. Just like David, realize that it's about you and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say something now that might sound funny to some people. Sometimes it's not even you and your spouse. It's not you and your children. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, and I think JSW said this 2 days ago during PSSBC, when you tell people sometimes what you know the Lord is telling you to do, people in a bid to make it easy for you, we try to truncate the plan of God in your life unknowingly. The same thing happened with Samuel and the first son of Jesse. Oh, this is the one. He looks fantastic. I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You look at the physical attributes. I look at the heart. This one I've rejected. The brothers of Joseph did exactly the same thing. Reuben did exactly the same thing. Oh, don't kill the young man. Throw him into a well. Bible says that Reuben planned to come back and return him back to his father. He was never meant to go back to his father. He was meant to go and fulfill, to go and start the process of fulfilling the word that God gave Abraham hundreds of years before. So you cannot focus on what is going wrong, because if you do focus only on what is going wrong around you, you are missing the point. You will miss an opportunity to become a tool in the hands of the Father. Who are the men of the 3 Ds in your life? Who are those young men and young women, old men and old women? I said old men and old women with emphasis, because sometimes we think it's only the young that needs attention. Who are those people, mid-career people, even chief executives, that just need a word from you, that just need a touch from you, that just need to sit with you and have a conversation with you, and peace will come into their hearts? Don't ever look at any of those opportunities with a preconception in your heart. Don't ever do it. What is important is I and the Holy Spirit are in a partnership, and this is the time for me to fulfill what God has ordained for me to fulfill. That is the only focus. And when it comes, when you're thinking about your own issues, just relax, because it is sorted. It took me years to get to that realization. There is nothing that you are going through that has not been sorted. It was sorted already before it even started. Before you saw the physical manifestation of that storm, the storm has already been stilled. That should be your only focus. Years later, David as a king could afford not to go to war. Why? Because he had done his own work. He had put in time. When everything was not perfect, he had put in time. When he was a vagabond, he had put in time. In fact, he was so perfect that in preparation of those men that he became a mercenary force. And even the Philistines were using to attack other tribes around. So much so that when they now wanted to fight Saul, and David showed up to fight, he made money from fighting anyway. The Philistines were afraid. Saul is his master. If you allow him to fight with us, he can turn on us in the midst of the battle. Even in that seeming disappointment, by the time they got back to Ziklag, his camp had been attacked. And the entire family and the family of his men had been taken. God still showed himself strong. You've got to understand one thing. Even when everything has gone south, God is still God. Ah, yeah. Even when everything goes south, The host of heaven that have been assigned to you are still there. They're just waiting to hear your word. They're just waiting to hear your pronouncements. They're just waiting for you to say, this is who I am. This is what I've been ordained to do. This is what must happen. And they will start acting on it. But a lot of us, what we do is that is when we now decide that we are going to cry. We want to get a Guinness Book of Records certification for the person that cries the loudest or cries the longest. Come on, get off it. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I used to think the Holy Spirit did not have any emotion. You know, sometimes you moan and cry and complain to him. When I'm done, he will ask me, are you done? Are you done? And I say, yes, I'm done. He said, okay, fine. Go and do what I told you to do. Oh, okay, I've had you, and you keep quiet. And some of the sons and the daughters or the mentors, the mentees that I have, sometimes when I tell them that the Holy Spirit sometimes will listen to you cry and ask you a question that is at cross purposes with all the things you have moaned about, most of them don't believe me until it happens to them. The Holy Spirit is not moved by your tears. It's moved by your stance with him. Can two walk together except they agree? So that question is a question that every single one of us must answer in this season of prevailing prayer. Because every storm that started September with you, before the end of the first week, they have all gone. They all disappeared. The question then is, if you spend the entire time of prevailing prayer begging God to change your situation, but that situation is meant to take you to a place of purpose, you will then realize that you have wasted 24 hours a day praying out for the wrong things. The day I discovered that mourning and crying and asking God to meet my needs was a waste of my time was the day I got liberated. And guess what? I was already a pastor before I discovered. I'll pray for other people that will see God move in their lives. I will sit down with people and advise them. They will do what I tell them. I'll see God move in their lives. But I was stagnant. Until God said, come to some super embarrassing. When I sat with Jesus of being, look at me and said, sir, there's something you need to do. Find it and do it, and everything will disappear. You cannot imagine that the moment my focus changed from myself and my family to others, the things I've done in the lives of people has been amazing. The peace that I enjoy has been amazing. Sometimes I will be alone, you know, either I enjoy myself in it or somebody will come and say, the Lord showed me something about you, sir. And when they tell me that, I realize that the Holy Spirit is saying, continue what you are doing. I've not forgotten you. All that we have agreed is going to come to pass. So what do you do when everything goes south? Be like David. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness has been given unto you. You have the Spirit of God. And if you are here, you have not received the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is a perfect month for you to encounter that. It's very easy. I see filled one person with the Holy Spirit yesterday. So it's very easy. Reach out to the admin. Look at this call that you are on. Reach out to the co-host on this call, and they will be able to help you. If you're on this call, perchance, and you don't even know Jesus at all, what are you waiting for? I'm not going to tell you that if you accept Jesus, everything will be rosy. Of course, it will be rosy, but I'm not going to tell you that. You know why? You come and experience it first and see whether you will not be a blazing ball of fire that God will use to uproot the strongholds of darkness, because that is who we are. Like David. And recreate men and women like you. Men and women that will walk into places and the fragrance of Christ will fill the place. Men and women that will walk into haunted buildings, haunted houses, and the demons will disappear. Men and women that will walk into nations and they will go and tell the king, greater than Elijah is here. That is who you are. That is what you must do. We live in a world where people think that because we are Christians, we must behave as if we are failures. No way. We are not failures. We are the ones that have allowed them to see us that way. Now, they are started to see us as those that walk in, and the cancer in their body dries up, even without us saying any word. We have started to show them that we are those that speak to nations, and the destiny of nations are realigned and rearranged to fit in with what we have spoken. We have started to show them that we are the oracles of the Most High, men and women that will speak a word, and it will seem as if it's a jest, but the next minute they will see the word coming to pass. Because when we focus on the purpose for which we are called and on the will of the Father, like David, we create a team that is so fierce that our enemies will tremble in their boots when they hear that Ayobi Ishote has stepped into town. So, this month of prevailing prayer, go, excel, soar, and be who your Father has called you to be. So our prevailing prayer continues. This is just the first day. We're praying till the end of September. If you are going to church today, I speak into your life. That your presence in church today will cause a shift that will show you that there is more to who you are than what you see now. The Holy Spirit will start to reveal things to you in ways that you never knew possible. And by the reason of your being part of this prevailing prayer, the identity that is truly you, as written by God in the volume of the books, will become evident. Father, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more. Also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings.